Welcome to this episode of Sometimes I Talk to Myself. Hello, guys. It's been a while. Where am I going with this song? I don't know. I hope everybody is doing good. I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a little bit. My last episode that I published was talking to Minister Osage. That was so fun. I hope you guys got to catch that episode. It was super fun to record with him. And we actually did a part two, but I'm working on how to get that out to you guys. So anyways, today we have a special topic, and it's called Fortify My Faith. Fortify My Faith. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for this podcast. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of your people, God. I just pray that you would just have your way with me. Take over my vocal cords, my mouth. Have your complete way in Jesus' name. And I pray that somebody, whoever is listening, will be encouraged by what they hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so today we're talking about fortify my faith. Now, this word came from I went to visit a church, right? So I typically sing at my church every week. And I sing based on whatever schedule they, schedule, however they schedule me. So this particular week, I was thinking about it. And actually, when Brother Osage came to do the podcast, he had me play worship while we were getting ready. And he said, put on this worship, group or this song. And I was like, okay. So I put it on. And when I put it on, I didn't even realize. I was like, oh my gosh, who is this? Who are these people? So the name of the church, it's called Mercy Culture Church. And it's here in Fort Worth. And I was pretty shook. I was like, whoa, because immediately when I pushed play, the glory cloud just filled the room. No, for real. But it was, you can sense they were going somewhere. Like, I was in another room, fixing my hair and my face and stuff. And I could hear the music from the other room. And I said, whoa. Like, I had to stop and go back and look at the screen. You know how something is good? You ever been eating a meal and you're eating it, but you're not paying attention, and you hit that good bite and you look down at what you're eating like, okay, I see you, food. That was kind of how it was for me. I had to go back out there and say, now, who is this again? Because they were going in. So anyway, I was introduced to them through that, and I found out through more research that they were located in Fort Worth. So I said, okay, bet. I need to go visit this church just for the worship alone. I love my church, but I knew I needed to just, as a worshiper myself, I do like to get into environments that are flooded with worship, that have beautiful, the presence of God is there, beautiful presence of God. Like, I like to go and not be necessarily on the stage or in a leadership position, but just be in the audience with everybody else, hands lifted, just receiving from the Lord. So long story short, I go to the church, right? And when I get in the door, they're singing this song. And at the time, I'm thinking it's something maybe from one of their albums or something. No, it was something they were writing in the moment. Excuse me. And so I was shook. I was like, but I didn't know that. I didn't know until later when I left and tried to look the song up, and the song couldn't be found. But they started off singing, fortify my faith, fortify my faith, fortify my faith, fortify my faith. And then they go into this little part. It's like this guy just starts singing. I know. Let me see if I can sing it. It's morning time, so my voice is not warm yet. But it says, I know the high priest prays for me, prays for faith to rise in me, prays for strength to rise in me. I know the high priest, I know the high priest prays. And it just goes over and over, and they just keep saying that. And then they fortify my faith, fortify my faith, fortify, fortify my faith. It just, they just went in. And oh my gosh, like even just singing it was just, it just, oh, takes me back. But I needed that day. I needed to hear that. I needed the Lord to strengthen me. So from that comes this message. So this was Sunday. So from that comes this message I'm bringing you today. I just wanted to give you a little background of where the title comes from, because I feel like what God is wanting to do in us is fortify our faith. I saw something when preparing for this word. It was as if I saw God showing me like his believers have been leaning real hard on their own strength. And it's funny because scripture, all scripture is God breathed. And so God knew that we would come to this place. He knew in the past that other believers have come to this place. And he wants to remind us not to lean on our own insight or our understanding, our own wisdom, our own intellect, our own thought patterns, or how we think things should be. He wants us to lean real heavy and real long upon him. I love when someone said that when Jacob wrestled with the angel, you know, and he got the hollow of his thigh was touched. And after that, he had a limp. And, you know, somebody, I don't know, it was a preacher said that he had to put his staff out first and lean, and then he could walk, you know. And I think, and it's like we have to get to a point where we are literally, we are actually leaning so hard, like, God, I can't without you. I cannot without you. So fortify my faith is our topic for tonight. Let's talk about the word fortify. Fortify means to provide a place with defense or defensive works as protection against attack. To fortify. As a hairstylist for me, fortify something, like I can fortify the person's hair strand or hair, you know, if I'm doing a chemical service, I fortify it by, you know, deep conditioning treatments and things like that. It's a way to build up. It's a way to secure. And we need to shore up and secure our faith. So I want to talk about a few things that we can do to fortify our faith. Number one, I put on here, forget. Forget. Why do we need to forget in order to fortify our faith? Because a lot of times, I know for me, and I know, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but I know for me, having the experiences I've had in my life, you know, from being a virgin and having someone actually rape and take my virginity without my permission, you know, to the multiple deaths that I've experienced, to homelessness and just abuse, rejection, things like that. I've experienced so many things, right? And I know that I've compiled a little list just now, but what I believe the Lord is calling us to in this season and now is to forget. Forget. It's to not, because here's the thing. A lot of times when we are compiling these lists of what has gone wrong in our lives, we are unknowingly or sometimes knowingly creating a case against God of the ways that he hadn't come through for us or that he failed us. And so it puts us in a place where now it blocks. We can't praise, right? We can't, because we are like, it's almost like, remember when Mary said, if you hadn't been here, my brother wouldn't have died when Lazarus died. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And it's like Lazarus didn't die because of Jesus, but she knew that if he was there, he would have lived. Lazarus died because he had whatever ailment or whatever was going on with him. But she knew the power that Jesus had, and she was pissed because he didn't show up in the time frame that she thought he should, right? And so she had that offense. Even John the Baptist, you know, Jesus, he sent a word to Jesus through one of his disciples saying, are you the Messiah or is there another? And Jesus was like, basically like, woe to him that is offended in me. You know, people try to act brand new, like, oh no, I love Jesus. No, I really love him. But when you begin to compile a list of things that have gone wrong in your life, and when you begin to keep a note, like you're making a whole, you know, well, I'll say not paradigm. What's it called? Graphing a graph of the ways that you feel like, you know, you were let down. You low key mad at God. You low key doing that, and it is against God. Though you may not realize it or know it, but I'm telling you it is. And so I believe God wants us to forget something that somebody came up to me and they were like, man, we were talking they were like talking about how joyful I am and things like that. And they were starting to tell me what they were going through. And it sounded very similar to, man, my life experience. I was like, whoa, we have a similar testimony. You know, I was like, man, I lost both my parents too. And my husband actually died and this and that. And they were like, what? You know, well, why do you look like this? Literally, it was a man. He was like, how do you look so joyful? You look like nothing happened. And I was just thinking about it. Like, and I told him, I said, it's the Lord. But he was like, well, I'm saved too. I got the Lord. But what I realized, you guys, is that if we don't forget, forgetting what is behind. I have that scripture. It's in Philippians 3:13. It says, my brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, hey, this is me, y'all. Listen, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Same thing for good things. I actually like, When I say good things, I mean good things that maybe I've accomplished, or like I did a post that I thought was really, really good. And I watched that thing like 10 times, and then into the next day, I'm like, okay, sis, we're not watching it anymore. It was good. You did good. What are you going to do today? Let's go. You know, forgetting what is behind, I press. So I'm telling you guys, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it. I have not arrived myself. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind. I strain forward towards what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Amen. So, number one, we need to forget. Number two, we need to remember. Hey, now listen. I just said forget. Now I'm saying remember, right? Let me tell you why I'm saying this. So, years ago, I was doing hair as a young hairstylist. I don't even think I was married yet. And I was doing hair and I would meet these women, and it was more than one. It was more than two. It was more than five. It was just, I had women come and sit in my chair, client after client. And I remember I have had such a love for marriage from before I can remember. Like, I've loved not just the idea of marriage, but I love the institution. I love the covenant of it. I love husband and wife team. I love to see it, you know? And so even young, I used to be like, man, I really hate divorce. And not just because it said it scripturally, but I just hated what it did to families. I hated the feel of it, you know, the ripping apart, the separating of it, you know? And so I remember I would get these ladies in my chair, and sometimes they would be venting about their husbands and what they did wrong and how, you know, oh, he get on my nerve. And, oh, I told him this and I'm not talking to him. And they'd be in these long stretches of not speaking to their mate and all that stuff. And one thing God put in me is I used to say, wow, well, tell me something. How did you meet? How did you meet? How did you meet your husband? And so they would begin to tell me, oh, girl. And I'm doing the hair, right? And so I'm looking at them in the mirror, and I'm looking at them, their countenance begin to change. Oh, man, girl, when I was in college, I was just walking down the street, and some guy, like, bumped into me real hard, knocked my backpack off my shoulder. And my husband just came up to me, and he picked up my backpack, and he asked me if I can go to lunch, and then we started talking, and he's just been there for me ever since. And, you know, she begins to tell me the story of how they met, of how they came together, and I can see the smile and the wistful look in her eyes, and I'm like, there it is. There it is. Why does that matter? Because sometimes when you're in the midst of a storm and you're in the midst of a difficult situation, or a trial or a growth period, we forget what God has done. Now, I know I said forget, right? But what I'm saying is, when I was saying forget, I meant to forget the things that you have been adding up, the list that you've been compiling, the ways that maybe God didn't come through for you or that you feel like he failed. Because we're going to talk about that in the next point. But I want to say you need to forget those things and remember the Lord your God. Remember the ways he came through for you. Like that bride, like that wife that was sitting in my chair. You know, she had been married for so long, and I've had several of them that were older than me and that had been married for, you know, 20 years, 18 years, 10 years, all these years, and they forgot what made them fall in love in the first place. Those are the things we need to remember. What made you love God? What thing happened? Small thing, big thing. For me, I had a thing that was kind of major. I was like, wow, he loves me. Because I was in New York and I lost my ukulele. I left it in an Uber. And I got with the Uber driver. You know, we messaged back and forth for a little bit. Hey, I can meet you here. I'm like, dang, I won't be home. I'll be here. He was like, man, that's out of route. That's out of my way. I'm like, okay, what about tomorrow? So we were trying our best to get together. But ultimately, he stopped responding because it was just too much time had passed. He was like, forget it. So that was my ukulele. It was gone. Just completely gone. I was so sad because I carried that thing everywhere with me. I took it out of town. I took it on planes. You know, I kept that thing with me and I was sad because I loved it. But let me tell you something. I was in the thrift store and I was with my aunt. She really wanted to go. I did not want to go, but I went with her anyway. And when I got to the thrift store, I saw something in the corner of my eye, and it was a black bag. And I noticed, like, I recognized the symbol on it. And I was like, that's the same ukulele maker that makes my, I said, is that a ukulele? So I go over there, I grab the bag. And when I take the ukulele out, it looks exactly like the one I had lost, like identical. Like it was almost like it was transported from the man to me. And what's really crazy is the case was the only thing that was different. My case was black, but it was like, excuse me, it was form fitted. But this case was like a drawstring. It was like a bag. And so that was the only difference. And then what's extra crazy is my client bought me a form fitted bag. She was like, girl, this was on my heart to get you. And I tried to get your colors. And she ended up buying me a bag that actually form fits my ukulele. So God is so dope and he's so detailed. And that was one of the things that I choose to remember when the enemy tries to lie to me and tell me, like, remember your husband died. Remember who did it. Remember when she did that and he allowed it. And No. I'm forgetting what those things that are behind. I'm forgetting those things. What I choose to remember, because I get to choose. I'm choosing to remember those little things that he's done, the big things that he's done. I mean, he's done some huge things, but I chose a small testimony today because I wanted to bring attention. Like sometimes we don't realize that we're being favored, that God is pouring his favor upon us. We don't even realize that we're just going on about our day. I could have been like, oh man, cool. I got a ukulele, you know, and it was cheaper than the one that it was a gift. Someone bought the first one for me, but it was like cheaper than what it would cost if I had ordered a new one, which is why I hadn't ordered a new one yet. So anyway, I love the Lord so much. I love him so much. And I want to encourage you to remember the Lord your God. Remember him. Remember the things that he has done. Psalm 77 says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? Little G, God, as mighty as you. Wow. My God. Mm-mm-mm. So I just thank God so much. So remember. So first we forget. Second we remember. And third, we need to focus. Focus. So I say focus because a lot of times the thing and this whole thing is about stuff coming up against you, because I sense that is what's going on right now in the earth. Like stuff is happening. OK, but we need to focus really quick. I was remembering back to a time where one in my old church, one of the members sons was having a mental breakdown. And so for months and months, almost a year, we were battling this mental break. It was like almost a psychotic kind of thing, break he was going through, where he would just become catatonic. He would become like he would start mumbling, and like it was really, really strange. And so we all knew it was demonic, but we just basically we were just like, you know, trying to deal with it. We were praying for him, all this stuff. So finally the pastor calls a meeting. He says, look, let's all get together. We're going to pray. This thing is going to break tonight. And so we all said yes. I was married at the time. And so all of us met at this one minister's house, and we began to pray for this young man. And as we were praying for him, the hours started to roll by, and I was like, okay, you know, hours rolling by is fine. You know, we doing battle. But I was sensing and feeling in my spirit like nothing was happening, but it was like, I just felt like we weren't making progress. You know, sometimes you can be praying in the spirit, but you feel a push to keep going because you know you're making something's happening. You're making progress. But I didn't sense that. So I stopped a moment. I looked at this boy. He was just standing there, and everybody was like, fight. Come on, fight. Stand your ground. Get up. You could do it, man. And Rabbi Shata, you know, everybody's praying and speaking to him. And we're talking to him. And talking to the spirit that's in him. And we're doing all this stuff. And I remember looking, and I was just like, Lord, you know, I think I just don't want to think about him anymore. Like, I think I'm done putting all of my energy and effort into this boy and this devil. Because Satan, his goal is to wear you out. That's his ultimate goal. He wants to wear you out. So we were being worn out, all these big ministers and people. So listen, so you know what I did? I looked at him, and every bit of strain and stress that pressured on my heart and my shoulders and my body, I released it all in that moment. And I was like, I said, God, I just worship you. I started off saying, God, I worship you. Like, I'm going to turn my focus off of this boy, off of this demon, off of the situation, and I'm fixing it on you. So I turned in that moment, and I worship you. I was just saying, I worship you. And I hit my face on the carpet. I just got down on my face, like full body, just flat. And I began to just cry out to the Lord. And I mean, I felt like it was noisy enough in the room that I was in. And so I didn't know if anybody even noticed that I was gone. I was down there on that floor, and I wasn't too far. Like, they were, you know, in a huddle, you know, over there. But I was on, you know, I kind of moved a little over, and then I just got on my face, and I began to worship the Lord. And I began to exalt him and lift him up. And you are highly exalted. I didn't know what, if anything, would happen. I just was tired of looking at the little boy. I was tired of feeling worn out because of his situation. But I knew that the one that could change it was the one I should be focusing on. I was worshiping the thing that we wanted to happen so bad that I said, no, I want to turn my worship to the King of Kings. And so when I say I'm worshiping, it is because all of my energy, all of our focus, everything was on, come on, you can, the devil is alive, come out, Satan, all this stuff. No, I turned my face and I hit the floor and I said, look, God, there's no God beside you, right? Well, in that moment, I mean, it happened within seconds, right? So I'm down on the floor, I'm worshiping, and I'm just crying out, and I have my face cupped in my arm, and I didn't, like I said, I thought the ground was muffling my sound for the most part, but I was just like, hallelujah, and I was going in, right? Within a few seconds, the young man, well, I hear this scream first. And then I feel like my body, like somebody like either fell on me, tripped over me, something. But like I said, I'm face down, so I didn't know what was going on up there. And so I had to hear the scream, and then I feel this shift, this jolt to my body, but I just keep worshiping. And when I get up off the floor finally, and I look next to me, the young man is on prostrate on his face next to me as well. And he's worshiping. And I said, wow. And then the room was worshiping. The room. We all shifted. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. You the thing you're coming up against hasn't shifted because you haven't shifted. You have to shift your focus. You have to shift the thing that you're worshiping right now. You're worshiping the lack in your life where you haven't seen the change. Satan is like, yes, no, focus on that. Oh yeah, no, you can't pay your bills this month again. Listen, he wants you to focus on what you don't have. Oh, where's your husband? Where's your wife? You still single. No, he wants you to focus on the negative. And God is saying, but if you turn your eyes on me and you focus on me, you don't even know how things will shift. And not only will they shift, but it's going to happen quickly. Right? So we need to focus. Number four, and the final point, is to come up higher. I was talking to my little brother, and we were just really like just coming together on this topic itself. And I was like, man, you know, we were talking about how the trials of life, how they get you sometimes, so where you know, you're focusing on that and you're not focusing on the Lord. But one of the things that I don't know if it was him that said it or me that said it, but we were just going in, and I believe it was both of us, because he caught one part, I caught another part. But one thing my brother said, he said, because this point is come up higher. So my brother said, when you're in a plane, when you're on the ground and you're in a plane, everything looks big. The runway is large. The planes around you are large. Everything is large. He said, but when you take off and you get in the air and you look down on those same planes, that same runway, those same people begin to look a little different. What? They look tiny. They look small. They look minuscule. So this final point is to come up higher. We have to come up higher to where Jesus is, because when we get there, we begin to have an aerial view of what heaven is doing versus maybe what the heat of our experience is. We have to come up higher. Amen. So this is something I said to my brother, when you change your position, your perspective changes. When you get in a heavenly position, it'll give you an aerial view of heaven's perspective. We have to change position. If you're stressed, if you're worried, if you're out of sorts, if you are, you know, have anxiety, depression, things like that, you have to come up higher. And sometimes you got to fight to get there. And the reason being is because, of course, Satan don't want you there. But also, if you've programmed your mind and you've been in this place for a long time, it may take a little doing to come out. But I'm going to tell you, just like what happened with the young man, all you have to do really is hit your face and do that consistently. Like anything that starts to come up, stop in the midst of it and begin to pray. Begin to worship God. And see, prayer is beautiful, but I love worship too, because I love worshiping first because it puts things in perspective. And then when you go to pray, it's like, dang, I don't even feel the need to pray for the things that I wanted to pray for. Let me pray for so-and-so, because I really feel like in my worship, God dealt with the things that was bothering me or the things that I was having issue with. Now it's time to pray, and you'll be able to go to war for your family. You'll be able to go to war for the things that's on the heart of God. So come up higher. God is calling us up higher. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He's the pioneer. I mean, you have a pioneer is the one that goes out before everybody else. Everybody else follows what the path the pioneer has set out. And the perfecter, that means that if he's perfecting our faith, that means we have to go through some stuff that will cause our faith to be perfected. Come on. So for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't grow weary and lose heart. Amen. So I just wanted to encourage us today that God is fortifying our faith. He's fortifying our faith, but we want to partner with him. This is not just a situation where we're just like, okay, do it, God. Even when you are getting a massage, you have to participate. I know when I get massages, you know, she'll say, okay, inhale, breathe in, breathe out. Okay, you need to relax. You tensing up. Okay, now I need you to turn over. Okay, lift your legs so we can put this little thing up under it. Okay, now put your head like this. You're still having to participate, even when you're in a relaxing situation and getting a massage. It's nothing in this world that we have to participate with life. And we definitely have to participate in our deliverance and with the King of Kings who is fortifying our faith. It's his desire. And now we're going to partner with him. We're going to go with him. And we're going to forget those things that are behind. We're going to remember what he's done. Begin to compile a list. If you start to compile a list of everything that's gone, rip that list up. Everything that's gone wrong, rip it up. And that's what I told the person, that the guy that had asked me, like, why do you look like this? You're so joyful. And I'm like, I don't keep an account of wrongs done to me that I feel like were done to me. When the Lord is growing, either growing us, it's a test of our faith. He's given us an opportunity, you know, to come up higher. It's like all these things. And then, you know, sometimes life just be lifing. But I'm not going to blame God for every bad thing that happens to me. And I won't sit down, because I've done that before, guys, where I've sat down and this happened today. I've done it, one good time. And I realized it sounded dumb. And I felt bad after. I felt yucky. I felt like, ooh. Because it's an insult. Because he's also been so good. God has been so good. So when you compile, every good gift comes from the Lord, right? But he ain't claiming all that other stuff. Some stuff is a result of our own sin. Some stuff is a result of the people in our lives' sin. You know, how they may have lived their life, you know, and then they pass away. And it's like, well, God, you did that. No, it's all the pizzas they was eating and stuff. You know, like we cannot compile these things against God. And so that's why I made it. I'm like, I don't do that. What I do is, I thank him for all that he's done. And if I'm feeling sad in a moment about something, like I was missing my mother the other day, I focus on my mommy. I focus on, like, man, I miss my mom, Lord. You know, just thank you for her life. Thank you for what you've given me and her. But I truly miss her. And I had that moment with my mom. But I didn't let that take me into a depression, where then I was like, and my dad, and my husband, and my grandma, and my cousin, and all the people that died. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Because then that takes you into a deep, dark place where then you begin to curse God, so to speak. So anyway, I hope this word blessed you guys. I am so glad that you joined me today. Share it. Share this with somebody who you feel like needs it. And I will see you guys next week for our next episode. Let's pray, though, before we go. Father, thank you for this word. I thank you for just the ability to get back up. Thank you that you have made us resilient. You've made us into your image and your likeness. You are not a punk. You don't quit. So I thank you, Lord, that we ain't no punks and we ain't about to quit. Thank you for fortifying our faith. Thank you that it is your desire to strengthen us, to bring us to a place, a good place, a good, your good, perfect, and acceptable will. Lord, I thank you for bringing us to a place of greater knowledge of you, to know you better, so that because when you don't know somebody, if somebody comes up to me and tries to tell me something about somebody I don't know, all I have is their word. But when I know somebody and they come to tell me something about somebody I do know, then I can say, oh, no, I've been knowing them for 20 years. They ain't never did that to me. That's never been their character. So that I can stand flat-footed to say, you talking about the wrong person, or you need to get out of my face. That's not my friend. So I thank you, Lord, that we would become such friends of God, such friends where we would know you so well, Lord God, that we would know you so intimately, that we won't allow the devil to come and accuse you before our faces, God. That we won't allow him, just like you will not allow him to accuse us to you, God, that we would be that kind of friend to you. When he comes to accuse you to us, God, that we would shut him down and say, not my God, not my Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. So I thank you. Thank you for this word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. It's been a pleasure. I'm so glad to have spoken to you, and I will talk to you next week. We'll get back on the good foot. You know what I'm saying? All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.